You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to PodcastJuice.net. This is what we do. I'm your host, Michael Dean, and today I am joined by Mr. Big Sexy in Sack. How are you, sir?
Man, I am exhausted. It was a long week.
Ah, you're in the courtroom doing what you do, right?
Man, laying the smack down and doing some networking, and we'll get into that, though.
Oh, okay. All right. Next up, Mr. Sean Hill. How are you, sir?
Doing well, but preparing for this Southern California heat wave that's about to come through. It's about to get hot up in here.
Wow. What are you talking about? What temperatures?
105 today.
Oh. Damn!
Oof. Yeah, that's crazy.
And no AC in the house.
Ooh. Is that with the index, or that's the regular temperature?
That's the regular temperature.
Man, where do you live?
It's basically Escondido, San Diego, California. So
I didn't think San Diego got that hot.
It does occasionally. Usually this time of year, it gets August, September, October is our heat time, believe it or not.
Wow. All right. Well, stay cool. Get you some water.
I will.
All right. Next up, Mr. Q-Storm. How are you, sir?
I'm trying to see who I got to knock over the head to grab their $350 to get this Apple Watch.
Oh boy! Good luck with that.
That's the only way I'm going to get the money for that thing. $350. Come on.
Yeah.
It's just a watch, man.
Tim Cook is on crack.
Oh, wow. All right, and we are waiting for the appearance of Mr. Aunt Pooh. He will be joining us momentarily, so you will see him show up at some point. But this is what we do, and we got a lot of things to get into today. Now, I wanted to start it off today with some words of wisdom. So hold on real quick. Let me play this little tape. I'll be right back.
Seeing what you've gone through, man, you've been through a journey, bro. And I've kind of been on the sideline watching it since day one. And this is reality, you know, and I think it's what appeals to people. And I want to ask you your take. You know, Ray Rice was just recently in the news, you know, for domestic abuse. Mm-hmm. And you know, you've been down that road before, mm-hmm. and then you've evolved since. What have you learned from that and how to deal with it?
I think it's all about, you know, the choices you do make.
Mm-hmm.
Also, with me, you know, I dealt with a lot of anger issues from my past.
And, yeah.
You know, just not knowing how to express myself
mm-hmm.
Verbally, but at the same time, not knowing how to cope with my emotions and deal with them and understand what they were. So I just think, you know, help is great. You know, I still talk to my therapist twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it helps me to actually be able to, if I'm frustrated, if I'm dealing with something, to vent and say what I'm going through, so mm-hmm. I can hear from an actual clinical person that's like, you know what, this is how you should react, or, you know, it's good to feel this way because, you know, feelings, emotions, energy, emotions are supposed mm-hmm. to come in and go. You know what I'm saying? It's not supposed to stay there. You're not supposed to keep it inside because it'll just bottle up and you'll become a monster. So
and you explode, right?
Yeah, explode. So for me, I think dealing with my anger issues and understanding myself and you know, the life I've been through and where I'm headed, you know, and where I want to be, you know, it has helped me, you know, really focus on what's important and not, you know, F up, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I think, you know, for anybody who's going through that situation or anybody who's dealing with it, you know, it's all about the choices. Every situation is different, but,
uh-huh.
you know, it's all about the choices you make and how you control your anger.
So that's what you would say to Ray Rice or anybody else?
Yeah, Ray or anybody else.
Yeah?
Because I'm not better than the next man, so I can just say I've been down that road and,
uh-huh.
you know, I've dealt with situations and I made my mistakes too, but, you know, it's all about how you push forward and how you control yourself.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is from one of the wisest guys. I know one of a guy that Big Sex is a huge fan of, Mr. Chris Brown. Now, you ask, when you're at the point where Chris Brown is giving you advice on TV, like, that's when you know you are fucked. Like,
yeah.
What,
he's still
thoughts on
ass whipping.
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't want to bottle it up and become a monster. That was what he said. So.
You ought to know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's not, I mean, I would like to take him at his word, but that sounds like someone who was coached and told, listen, you need to go on this show and show that you've changed, even though you haven't. Just say this. Just say this. I wrote it down for you. Memorize this.
Well, I tell you what, he and specifically CeeLo Green, I damn feel like, God damn, thank the Lord, this other nigga's taking the spot because...
Exactly.
Just last week before CeeLo was in hell, now he is all but forgotten. All right, you take your drink. All right, juice, podcast juice. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to podcastjuice.net. This is what we do. And I'm your host, Michael Dean. And today I am joined by Mr. Big Sexy in Sack. How are you, sir?
Man, I am exhausted. It was a long week.
Ah, you're in the courtroom doing what you do, right?
Man, laying the smack down and... doing some networking, and we'll get into that, though.
Oh, okay. All right. Next up, Mr. Sean Hill. How are you, sir?
Doing well, but preparing for this Southern California heat wave that's about to come through. It's about to get hot up in here.
Wow. What are you talking about? What temperatures?
105 today.
Whoa. Damn!
Woof. Yeah, that's crazy.
And no AC in the house.
Ooh. Is that with the index, or that's the regular temperature?
That's the regular temperature.
Man, where do you live?
It's basically Escondido, San Diego, California. So
I didn't think San Diego got that hot.
It does occasionally. Usually this time of year, it gets August, September, October is our heat time, believe it or not.
Wow. All right. Well, stay cool. Get you some water. All right. Next up, Mr. Q-Storm. How are you, sir?
I'm trying to see who I got to knock over the head to grab their $350 to get this Apple Watch.
Oh boy! Good luck with that.
That's the only way I'm going to get the money for that thing. $350? Come on.
Yeah.
It's just a watch, man.
Tim Cook is on crack.
Wow. All right, and we are waiting for the appearance of Mr. Aunt Pooh. He will be joining us momentarily, so you will see him show up at some point. But this is what we do, and we got a lot of things to get into today. Now, I wanted to start it off today with some words of wisdom.
Uh-oh.
So hold on real quick. Let me play this little tape. I'll be right back.
Seeing what you've gone through, man, you've been through a journey, bro. And I've kind of been on the sideline watching it since day one. And this is reality, you know, and I think it's what appeals to people. And I want to ask you your take. You know, Ray Rice was just recently in the news, you know, for domestic abuse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've been down that road before. Mm-hmm. And then you've evolved since. What have you learned from that and how to deal with it?
I think it's all about, you know, the choices you do make.
Mm-hmm.
Also, with me, you know, I dealt with a lot of anger issues from my past.
And, yeah.
You know, just not knowing how to express myself verbally, but at the same time, not knowing how to cope with my emotions and deal with them and understand what they were. So I just think, you know, help is great. You know, I still talk to my therapist twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it helps me to actually be able to, if I'm frustrated, if I'm dealing with something, to vent and say what I'm going through. So mm-hmm. I can hear from an actual clinical person that's like, you know what, this is how you should react, or, you know, it's good to feel this way because, you know, feelings, emotions, energy, emotions supposed mm-hmm. to come in and go. You know what I'm saying? It's not supposed to stay there. You're not supposed to keep it inside because it'll just bottle up and you'll become a monster. So
and you explode, right?
Yeah, explode. So for me, I think dealing with my anger issues and understanding myself and, you know, the life I've been through and where I'm headed, you know, and where I want to be.
Yeah.
You know, it has helped me, you know, really focus on what's important and not, you know, F up, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I think, you know, for anybody who's going through that situation or anybody who's dealing with it, you know, it's all about the choices. Every situation is different, but, you know, it's all about the choices you make and how you control your anger.
So, that's what you would say to Ray Rice or anybody else?
Yeah, Ray or anybody else.
Yeah.
Because I'm not better than the next man, so. I can just say I've been down that road and, you know, I've dealt with situations and I made my mistakes too. But, you know, it's all about how you push forward and how you control yourself.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is from one of the wisest guys. I know one of a guy that Big Sex is a huge fan of, Mr. Chris Brown. Now, you ask, when you're at the point where Chris Brown is giving you advice on TV, like, that's something's when you wrong. Know you are fucked. Like,
yeah. He's still got ass whooping.
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't want to bottle it up and become a monster. That was what he said. So.
You ought to know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I would like to take him at his word, but that sounds like someone who was coached and told, listen, you need to go on this show and show that you've changed, even though you haven't. Just say this. Just say this. I wrote it down for you. Memorize this.
Well, I tell you what. He and specifically CeeLo Green, I damn feel like, God damn, thank the Lord, this other nigga's taking the spot because...
Exactly.
Just last week before CeeLo was in hell, now he is all but forgotten. Now it's somebody else's turn. So Ray Rice, you know, I don't want to spend too much on this. There's a lot of talk about this. But the last couple shows, you know, we talked about, you know, sort of his actions and the wife and, you know, the suspension and all that. Now the focus has shifted to Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell, he is the NFL commissioner. You know, he's sort of the guy that's in the lead guy, you know, to stand there and to represent the league to the media and to the world. And now he is, I think he might be the next sacrificial lamb, possibly. He seems to be positioned to take the fall on this. I really wanted to go to Big Sexy. I know you have some dealings with that world. What is your take on the whole situation, how the things have shifted now, the women groups and just different things in general are sort of like, you didn't know when the tape was, or blah, 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 blah. What's your take?
You know, I know I'm going to get reamed for this, but, you know, I think this is a larger indication of the further pussification of our nation. The fact that Goodell disciplined this guy. Now, let me go again. I don't need to say this, but I'm going to say this. Ray Rice is fucking wrong, period. End of story. Nowhere if, ands, or buts about it. But the fact is, whatever the league did when they suspended him initially and disciplined him, that was what they did. The fact that, you know, third people or third parties are coming in after the discipline has taken place, well, we want this now, and you didn't tell us that, and this, and this, and this, and this. First of all, the league is a private entity. None of us are owed anything from them. None of us. And if this were a criminal action, the phrase double jeopardy would instantly apply. The guy did whatever the hell he did, has been punished for it. And now 6 months down the line, you're going to punish him more severely just based on public opinion? That's bullshit. And on top of that, you want to get on Roger Goodell for not doing it with enough vitriol because a certain group doesn't like it? Fuck them. This is the same thing that happened when Michael Vick came back. Michael Vick did 2 years in the slammer for something he shouldn't have fucking done. We all know this. But when he came back, a lot of people would come out and say, well, he shouldn't be allowed to play. Well, why shouldn't he? Why can't this man earn a living? Now, am I saying Ray Rice should walk away? No, I am not. Am I saying Goodell shouldn't, you know, have some criticisms? Not saying that either. But the fact of the matter is, he works for the owners. Everything that was done in this instance, believe me, was gone through proper channels. So we have people standing outside looking in saying, well, we don't like this and we don't like that. Well, you're not a member of this league. You're not a member of this organization. So essentially, you don't count. So shut the fuck up. I saw in Pardon the Interruption the other day, they made a reference to something similar back with, I forget her name, a woman named Burke, who was making a big stink about getting into the Masters Country Club because there are no women in it. Once they started playing, she went away. I'm not saying that that's not a valid issue, but again, when you have a closed universe, look, in fact, scratch that. Let me break this down to us. If somebody who's listening to, you know, Mike's podcast and has doesn't like something that I say or that Q says or whatever, and they start making all this racket, well, Michael Dean, this is your fault. You can't control your guys. Blah, 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 blah. Mike will be like, first of all, these are grown-ass men, and I don't tell them what to do. If you don't like it, keep it moving. That's just what it is. So I don't like the fact that a lot of businesses in our country have gone the other way on the pendulum by trying to appease the special interest groups at the expense of their own constituency. I just don't like that. It's not right. it's bad business and it sends the wrong message.
You know, the only thing I can, you know, I think they have to sort of consider a little bit is that, you know, their fear is that this may be like their consumer base or part of their consumer base, or if it escalates to the point where some of these groups start this whole, you know, boycott advertisers or something. You know what I mean? Like, at some point, they have to sort of address.
No, I agree. They have to. They have to pay it some window and lip service.
This is how far do you go with it, right?
Like, yeah, yeah. Because, like, I mean, again, the perfect example now is Daniel Snyder. Everybody's on this guy. Right. Change your name. I'm not changing shit. You know? Well, I don't like it. Then don't come to the fucking game. It's the same premise. That name has been around for a billion years. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that's the fucking name. And so now you have people who don't like the sport, you know, trying to pile up on this guy. You got the trademark office jumping in. Well, we're going to, you know, take your trademarks. Why? Because of the swell of this special interest group, because now people are paying attention and trying to appease these groups. Daniel Snyder drew the line in the sand and said, fuck you, I'm not changing it. And that's how, you know, unfortunately, that makes him the bad guy, quote unquote, in the court of public opinion. Not with me, but I see where a lot of this is going now, and it's just not good.
Q Storm, you got any point on this one?
Yeah, I guess my question is, how much blood do you take before you're satisfied?
Exactly.
Now, my more naive question is, I guess it does seem kind of weird or unbelievable that Goodell didn't see that tape months ago. But my question would be, what did he have to gain by claiming he hadn't? What would he have to gain by? I guess my point is, I kind of think he didn't see it, because what would he have to gain by keeping Rice in the league, knowing that that tape's going to get all over, going to eventually be seen publicly? Why would he lie about that? It makes no sense that he would say that he had seen it if he actually hadn't. If that makes any sense.
Well, I think if he admits to seeing it now, then the question is, why did you bring him back in the league? And he's out of there. I can understand why. Well, he probably did see it and say he didn't, because they probably were like, well, as long as this tape doesn't come out, we can stop this controversy now. We want this guy to play. He's, you know, he's part of this team. We don't want to have to go through that. So I think maybe they just thought it would never come out or something. If we assume they did see it.
Now, if you're going to bow to the special interests, as Big Sexy has labeled them, it seems like to me your strategy would be to say, yeah, I did see the tape, and I thought that the punishment we gave him was sufficient. Apparently it was not.
I think they'd eat him. They already started to eat him alive, but they would really go into them. Then
yeah,
they'd be like,
he
you are.
Misogynist.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's the thing. I'm Roger Goodell. And again, I want to preface this by saying I'm not defending Ray Rice, but I do think a man should have an opportunity to earn a living. Okay. But who, if I'm Roger Goodell, who am I more afraid of? These maybe few hundred thousand people in this interest group, or the millions of Americans who have made the NFL a $1 billion industry and has catapulted the end of football over baseball as America's national pastime?
Well, that's a good question. I think he's afraid of the tide turning against the game. He might be more afraid of what the owners would think.
And ain't no tide turning against football. There have been football players that have killed people while DUI. There are people.
Sure, but again, none of them have been caught on tape doing it. It's a different thing. See it.
People know it happened. People know about it. What does it matter if it's caught on tape?
It does matter.
I don't know why. What I'm saying is, if you aren't turning against the NFL because NFL players who have killed people are still playing, why would they? Why would it be go so hard against the NFL for Ray Rice hitting his, which was wrong, hitting his fiance?
Well, again, I'm going to let somebody else speak, but I think the video does play a big part in it. And obviously, these sports organizations do care about the perception of them in the marketplace. You spoke on it great. They are purely made to make money, and they make a lot of money, and they're very popular, right? And I think because of that, they have to be careful of, like any other business, of the way their brand is being presented. And if there seems to be, if they are in the hot seat in the media, you know, I think their original intent was to, we're going to squash this at the gate and suspend him indefinitely. I mean, that would be the end of it. You know, he's sacrificial to us. He means nothing. Get him out of here. You know, we have to save face and, you know, keep the situation. I think I was listening to Afro Nerd, great show, check it out. But I think somebody said, imagine what it would have been if Ray Rice was married to a white woman and he beat her like that on a video. It probably wouldn't have even lasted. It would have, when it first came, when they saw her being dragged out the elevator months ago, he would have been over then, in my opinion. But because it was a black woman, they don't really care about that. Yeah, you can play this whole game. But I want to go to, I think, Ampu, are you with us?
Yes, I am, sirs.
Hopefully you've been hearing what we talked about. What's your take on this Ray Rice, and specifically where we're at right now in terms of Roger Goodell and his actions or possibly inactions?
All right. The viewpoints from this moving forward are that of Anthony Ampu and do not reflect of that of Podcast Juice.
Damn. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Here we go.
Damn, what's he about to say? I got my popcorn ready like a mug.
Feel free to send all of your hate mail to anthonywsc@aol.com.
Damn.
That's a Tony Stark right there. My home address is.
Yes, the WSC does stand for West Side Connection. So
hilarious.
I'm going to say, fuck now. Fuck those 19 female senators. And fuck Keith Olbermann and ESPN. And especially, eat a dick, Deadspin. Now.
Is that going to stay in? Mike, do you have anything?
Leave it in.
All our chances of success gone. But go ahead.
I'm going to say this. Why the hell are there people calling for more, for the holding the NFL and Roger Goodell to more of a standard than we hold the prosecutor of that case, the judge of that case, the mayor of Atlantic City, the congressional persons that represent that district, the senators of New Jersey, and the motherfucking president of the United States? Where did we get to a society where we want the NFL to dish out a harsher punishment than the criminal court system? The criminal court said counseling and probation. Do you know any of those people's names outside of Barack Obama? And maybe Chris Christie, but all of a sudden there's a scandal and Roger Goodell needs to go. He punished the man. And another thing, and I know this is probably going to piss some people off, but I saw the tape too. I didn't see a wife beater. I didn't see a man beating the crap out of his woman. I did see a woman spitting on a man. I did see a woman laying hands on a man. Now, I'm not saying he justified in hitting her hard enough that she fell and hit her head, which is what knocked her out, whatever. But I'm saying is, that don't look like no battered woman. So you can miss me with all that, too. Mm. Should Ray Rice hit that woman? No. Should Ray Rice be paying a criminal price for what he did? Yes. Should he be suspended? No.
Wait. You mean indefinitely or at all?
At all. I don't think an employer should be implying harsher disciplinary action than our criminal court system implies. If you want to be mad at anybody, be now. Fuck you in that letter to talking about getting rid of Roger Goodell. Send that damn letter to the president of the United States, or better yet, his single black mother that he married to. How about that? Huh? Oh, Michelle Obama said being the president's wife is like being a single mother.
Anyway. Leave the house then. Shut the fuck up. I'm tired of her too.
Wow. Obama dragged in.
We managed to bring Obama into this.
Hey.
Yeah. So I'm saying, so my issue is I don't think Roger Goodell lying. He's lying because he don't give a fuck. I'm sorry. He don't give a fuck. He didn't care about the situation. He knew he had to do some action and he did what he thought was worth. Now, I'm sorry. This is a white man, Ivy League, been a lawyer all his life, been in football. He don't know any of this about the domestic violence that was going on. But what he did know is this black woman came up in there and said, yeah, I provoked him, give or take. So he's like, well, why am I going to throw the book at him if she's saying she played a part in this? Now, does that mean he should be fired for being ignorant of domestic abuse? No. And that's what I got to say.
All right. Sean Hill, we haven't heard from you yet. I want to go to you before we go back.
He got
to
follow that.
I was just about to say that.
You might want to separate yourself from some of that. But go ahead.
No, that's his opinion. He's entitled to it. I'm going to reveal something here. Probably shouldn't, but I will. My wife was abused in her previous marriage, so I'm a little more sensitive to this issue. But the biggest thing about the whole situation is, when did Roger Goodell know? When did he see the whole tape? And if he thought that he could hide it, now correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, but didn't TMZ release the first half of the second half of the tape?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. So wouldn't it be reasonable to assume that TMZ probably had, or at least could get, the other half of the tape? So trying to hide any knowledge of it would pretty much be useless, because eventually that tape is going to come out. Yeah, it seems like, you know, Rice is being a sacrificial lamb, but as we've said many times, you know, it's a business. You know, he ain't far too gone to see that yet. You know, he should have known that, you know, that this was going to happen to him. The thing that really, really bothers me about the tape, though, and maybe I'm a little off point, but after he slugs her, there's no like remorse. There's no, you know, baby, I'm sorry, you okay? It doesn't look like anything like that. It just looks like he slugs her. He looks down, and then he proceeds to, you know, drag her off the elevator. But there's no sense of, you know, any kind of regret, any remorse, any sorrowful. It's almost like, it seems like maybe he's done that before. That ain't the first time that's happened. But as far as, you know, as far as all of the support and, well, not support, but as far as them wanting Goodell fired, I think it just is going to determine if he did know about it and try to hide it. I think he needs to go, because, you know, you just – it's NFL is a business. Anything that messes up that business for the owners, that means, you know, you got to go.
I just chime in and say, you know what, I agree with pretty much what you just said, Sean. Now, I'm gonna be clear. I don't think that. So I'm gonna look at it a different way. I'm gonna look at it from as being a father, and if that girl was my daughter and she got knocked out like that on the camera, personally, I wouldn't care what she did per se, because I would be her dad. You don't put hands on her. But as a man, also, and I admit this, as a man who has put his foot on a woman, and I'm not proud about that. I was a kid when I did this, so let's keep it very clear. And my institution, I guess I'll be Chris Brown for a second. It got real quiet.
Wow. Seriously, Mike, man. Yo,
no, I'll just keep it. This is why this podcast here, juice. This is why we do.
Here.
That's all right. No, here's the situation. To jump out, I was a kid. I was in middle school, so I had to be, I don't know, what, 13, maybe? On the school bus, and there was this one chick, her name was TJ. She was really cute, but she had an obnoxious attitude. And so I was like, I didn't really fuck with her. Like, I'm not a chick that's all just talking crazy and trying to overpower people and all this. I'm good. You know, you don't know me. I don't know, whatever. So one day I happened to be sitting behind her, and I don't know why the conversation started or whatever, but you know, I'm sitting in the middle of the bus. Now all my boys sit in the back, and I usually don't sit back there at the time, because I was a little bit, but I didn't want to get in no trouble. I was sitting back there because a lot of cats were getting in trouble. So I was sitting in the middle, and she was sitting in front of me, and somehow we were talking or whatever, and through somehow in the conversation she slapped me. Like,
oh no, she didn't.
You know, everybody saw it, like, oh, and again, I'm a young dude, and I'm like, wow, really? This was back when Michael Jackson was the man, so that's what tells you it was back. I had my penny loafers. I reached my foot up over the chair and just popped her in the head. Pop, pop. And she turned around, sat back down, and say nothing. I didn't say nothing. That was the end of it. A couple years later, again, she's very cute. She's fine. So end up becoming good friends. It was just a mistake. Both of us, you know, hey, it was water under the bridge. We kicking it. But I said it to say it, so I'm speaking for somebody just on the sidelines. I've been in a situation. Again, I wasn't a man at that time, but still, it's no excuse. But going to this, personally, I feel like for a guy like him, as a football player, which means you're not weak, he could have probably handled that situation different. He could have bear hugged her, or, you know what I mean? He could have did a lot of things. He didn't have to close the fist and cock. And he's not a kid at this point. He does have some mind of himself, you would assume. Now, in terms of where this stands now in the controversy, he made his mistake. She made her mistake. They have to deal with that. Now, being that they're in a situation where it affects their job, I feel like a business can do whatever the hell a business wants to do. It's legal. You can fire anybody for whatever reasons. If it ain't making you money, that thing element has to go. So I don't have any problem with them saying, you know what, he's done. I understand why they have to do that. As it has gotten to Roger Goodell, again, I hold the same principles at heart. You know, he's really, my understanding is he's there. He's hired by the owners. I mean, and if America was governed by logic, they wouldn't be mad at him. They'd be trying to boycott, or they'd be going at the owners. Because I feel like he's only just doing what they either allow him to do or what they tell him to do. Because they're cutting his checks. He's not a check writer. So ultimately, to me, it's them that's saying, this is what needs to happen. Yeah. And again, if America was ruled by logic and not by sensationalism and, you know, the gossip press and the big story, it wouldn't go at him, because it changes nothing. At the end of the day, you fire him, it changed nothing. They'll get somebody else to be the commissioner, and business will go on. And I imagine this situation is not the first time that they have dealt with stuff like this. That's his job, to keep the fire down and keep it off the owner. So I'm sure there has been many of things that have never made the public light where he had to come in. Listen, this is what we're going to do. Okay, you're going to go do this. And how much money do they need to pay this chick that got pregnant? Okay, pay her that off, and so that we can clean this and keep the game going. This is a business. So I just think this is the situation that got exposed. And now that it is exposed, you got to play the game how it is. Oh, if they're about to have an investigation on him, right? If it comes back that he lied, then you know what? Here's your golden parachute. go on. You can go on and do something else now. You had a good run. But I think that's just the way things are played, unfortunately. Go ahead.
Two things, Mike. I got into an argument with some crazy, crazy chick on BuzzFeed, and I said, you're really trying to tell me that losing your job is a greater deterrent to doing domestic abuse than going to jail? If America was functioning on logic, they would be protesting and trying to get recalls from all these lawmakers that allow that guy who did that to get probation and counseling. And the other thing is they're like, oh, Goodell must go. We must make an example that we won't tolerate domestic abuse. Goodell make $45 million a year.
Damn.
Well, it might not be a good look, but that man going to be all right. And he probably going to be hella all right, not dealing with the stress of running the NFL. So get your priorities straight, America.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we will see. I won't be surprised if he gets ousted, but that's kind of
I will. I'll be surprised if he gets ousted.
Why would you say that?
Because under his tenure, you know, there have been a lot of rule changes and a lot more expansion, you know, in media. And the revenues have never been higher. And the bottom line for the owners who pay him the $45 million is, am I getting paid? Yes, you are. So trust, just like with CeeLo Green and other people, there'll be another firestorm that will get the glare off of him. Case in point, Adrian Peterson, which we're going to get into, you know, but that's going to get off him. And as long as the booties are in the seats in the stadiums and people are wearing jerseys and they got their own network, man, he ain't going nowhere.
Speaking of booties and seats and jerseys, did you see all those white people rocking the Ray Rice jerseys to the game?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I did see that. I could see that because, correct me if I'm wrong, or you can call me wrong. If that would have been a white woman, I don't think they'd be wearing them jerseys. That's just my opinion. But it just shows you how much they don't give a fuck. Play the game, boy. Who you would by? We don't care.
Wait, Janae? Oh, I thought you said Janet.
Exactly. Go on and catch that ball, boy.
You know, I think one of the things, too, initially, Big Sexy may be able to speak to it. Is it the, or was it the drug suspension more time than domestic or, you know, domestic violence or what have you? Because didn't somebody, it was like, I think that's part of what kind of started the whole firestorm was that he only got two games initially.
You mean Welker? The Welker suspension?
No, they're talking about Josh Gibson, who got suspended for a year. But see, the thing is that's his third
pop, though.
Yeah, exactly. Media is not telling you that. This is a multiple offender. Exactly. Ray Rice. This is Ray Rice's first time with anything, probably since elementary school.
Let me explain how the drug enforcement program works in the league. And I mentioned Wes Welker, who just got four games. This is how it works. The first time you get popped as a player, it's never released to the media, ever. You get pulled aside and say, look, man, we caught you dirty. Stop fucking up. If we catch you a second time, it's four games, and it'll be public. You get caught that second time, you do your four. Wes Welker. Okay, you did four. If we catch you again, it's a year. Which brings us to our last guy, Gibson?
Yeah, Josh Gibson.
Yeah, Mr. Gibson. He got a year. But goes to my point, though, the first pop is never reported because the media never knows about it. It's that simple. It doesn't become a problem or a spectacle until all of a sudden it's on ESPN, oh, so-and-so got four games. Oh, man, what that nigga do? See? But the first pop, never reported. So to answer Anthony's question, the drug penalty for a first-time pop as opposed to a domestic abuse, which is, you know, a whole different ballgame, first-time pop, it's not even the same type of punishment at all. None. I mean, you get counseling, you get some rehab on the low. No one knows anything. You don't miss any games. You don't miss any practice time. You don't miss any paychecks. You just go ahead and go about your business and just don't get caught again.
All right. Any final words on this particular situation?
I'd like to reiterate, fuck Deadspin.
Shout out to Deadspin.com, but go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I was just going to say the other problem I have is people saying, oh, under no circumstances can you hit a woman. Am I wrong?
I don't know about that.
Am I wrong to think that's bullshit?
That's bullshit.
Looking at that video, they were both in the wrong because she had no – walking into the elevator, she slapped – he spit on her. So, yeah, that's –
She
slapped her. She had no problems – putting hands on that man. I don't think he should have did what he did, but that wasn't some beatdown.
Well, you know, Mike, you revealed something in your past.
Uh-oh, everybody's snitching now. Oh.
I was in college and I was dating this woman and she came into my I forget why she came into my room or whatever. She just stormed into my room accusing me of cheating or something. I can't remember. We're talking ages ago. And she hit me she slapped me across the face.
Hey, baby, whoa.
And I, just like you said, Mike, I was a little bit on that bitch, right? I was a little meek. Not saying I'm a badass now, but I was way meeker then. She hit me she hit me like five, it feels like 20, but maybe five more times. And I said, listen, if you hit me again, I'm going to hit you back. And she started, okay, I should reveal this. This was a white woman.
I knew it. I knew it.
Okay, I'm probably going to edit this out because it get a shit. No, I'm just joking. It's not really funny.
And I said, if you hit me again, I'm going to hit you back. And she started yammering. As if to say, no, you're not. You're not supposed to hit a woman. And hit me again. Open-handed, I went across her face and she went across the room.
Cute.
And then she started saying, oh, you hit a woman. You hit me. I was like, get the fuck out.
You hit her with the Hadouken? What?
I hit her open-handed.
Damn, Q.
Well, that's better than a... I mean, we just said you're not supposed to go close-handed.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
But I'm saying my point is, and if anyone can address their correspondence to me, I got hit 6 times. And I said, if you hit me again, I'm going to hit you back. Because the shit was starting to hurt. So... I don't roll with this. You are never supposed to hit a woman. I mean, we're supposed, and I have no problem with this. We're supposed to let women into the military. We're supposed to let women fight boots on the ground. We're supposed to let women into our fire departments, into our police departments. And I have no problem with that. That means that women do have the capacity or the physical ability to be kind of tough when they need to be. So that's just my take on it.
Well, let's be clear here. In the eyes of the law, if a person, and we'll use the Q-Storm example here, if a person is being assaulted and battered, which Q-Storm was being, let's not get it twisted, he was being assaulted and battered at the time, that person has the duty and privilege to respond with equal and reasonable force as long as he does not escalate the aggression. He gets hit 6 times. He open hand, retaliates. That was within the law. So
say a suspect
gender,
in a local...
fuck that. Now, had he went further, there could be a problem there legally. But she kept on him and on him and on him. He said, you ease up. She did not. He was privileged in that circumstance to respond in the manner he did. So let's not, start vilifying people. The Ray Rice thing, I have not seen it. To be completely candid, I've not seen the whole thing. But if she hit him, he is, again, privileged to respond and repel with reasonable force as long as he does not escalate. Now, the fact that he threw a punch, that could be escalation.
Thus, that's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, she does not hit him. And in the video, you never see her hit him.
Oh, well, then we got a problem then.
No. In the video, you do see her hit him.
No, where? When?
Before they got on the elevator, you can see him standing there, like, waiting for her. And as she walked by, he spits on her, and she slaps him across the head. And then when they get in the elevator...
But he assaulted her first.
Yeah, I know. I know. But she did lay hands on him. And then in the elevator again, when either he spit on her again or he did or said something, she smacked him and then he hit her back. And then that's when she walked up on him and he hit her again.
But if he spit on her at the beginning, he started the whole thing. You got to question a guy that was spit on his girlfriend.
Yeah,
like, what the hell are you doing, man? That to me is the utmost of disrespect. If somebody was to spit on me, I would probably want to launch into the same sort of beat down too. I mean, that's crazy. But that again, there's the court of law, which Big Sexy broke it down. There's the court of public opinion, which I think this is where this is playing out. And I just think even if he's in the right legally, which he probably will be, the public opinion. Which matters for the NFL, they have to take that into consideration, which they obviously have. And, that's the mess up. That's like, dude, you're messing yourself up. You may not go to jail for this, but you may not make no money over this either.
That's why the police department isn't getting heat for this, only the league, because the police department and prosecution team did their job. And, again, double jeopardy attaches. It's over as far as the law is concerned. This is all about public opinion and perception now.
Yeah.
But to be fair, they both were drunk. So that's what I wanted to bring up earlier, where people were talking about, well, look at the way he reacted to her laying down. It's like he didn't care. To be fair, he was drunk. And
I can't ride with you now.
Yeah, I don't know where you're going with that, bro.
Well, what I'm saying is that he was clearly in an altered, inebriated state, which, as we all know, when we are in that state, the way we react to certain things is totally different than when we would when we're sober. So to that, I can't fault him for not, like, jumping to her aid and being more concerned because, well, the dude was drunk. I mean, we all don't act the way we normally would act when we're drunk.
But if you do something like that, that will sober you up quick, in my humble opinion.
Well, I mean, you don't know what he had in him. You don't
also, we're missing a step here, too. You know, we're all men here, and we've all made allusions to the point of he should have walked away or things of that nature. You know what? God damn it, it takes two. The minute he spit on her, she should have walked away. And said, you know what, you tripping, I need to go cool out over here. And I'm not saying she deserved anything. But if a person, male or female, sees that a situation is going to get heated and silly because somebody's, you know, spitting on you, you need to walk away. It's that simple.
And I think the biggest lesson to be learned from this is stop doing stuff in elevators, people. They're cameras in elevators. You go to Vegas, you know, you get a little hot and heavy with your lady. Don't do nothing in that elevator. there are cameras. Just a little public service announcement from the podcast Juice Crew.
Well, I guess I'll go ahead and give my domestic abuse story.
What's going on here, man?
Sure, wow. You want to do that, sir?
But she deserved it.
I'm going to stop you here. I don't need this.
I'm telling this story. I have broken up with this. No, well, actually, she broke up with me. Let me take the back. She broke up with me. But we stayed in contact. And one time she called me and stuff got heated. And I essentially said, well, fuck you, bitch. That's why I don't want you. So I go outside, I'm chilling on the block, talking to the homies. Next thing I know, I see a car pull up. Out from the passenger side, there's the ex-girlfriend. Out from the driver's side, there's the new boyfriend. Dude about 6'3", 280, bigger than me. And I'm looking like, what the hell is going on? So she over there mouthing off, talking about, yeah, you ain't talking all that shit. Fuck you. He gonna whoop your ass. Just going on and on and on. I'm trying to tell bro, like, look, bro, I don't even know you. He's like, you's the one talking all that shit? You, that was you? Come on, man. You know, I'm trying to do everything because I'm like, I ain't trying to take this ass with me, you know? Come on. So I'm trying everything. I'm trying to walk away. He keep pushing me. I'm trying to walk away. He keep pushing me. So she's like, yeah, your ass is grassed out. So the fight happened. But I'm gonna let you know, the first punch that was thrown was me to her. Because I felt, I'm going to take an ass whipping, you deserve a piece of this too.
Okay. I'm backing away into the bushes on that one, like Homer Simpson.
Let's see. Uh-oh.
Now go ahead. You want to blame it on that thing?
Anthony, let me ask you this. Let me put on my Tommy hat for a moment here. Uh-oh.
Okay. Simple alert.
With this particular woman you were involved with.
Yes.
If you saw how she got at you after it broke up, didn't you see these tendencies while you were with her?
Yeah, I didn't think she would do that. But she definitely had anger issues. She never put her hands on me, though.
But Anthony, you know, she goes out and gets, you know, the Hulk. Yeah. Now what? Talking that shit. You didn't see that type of behavior pattern beforehand? And you still got with this woman?
Juicy!
And let's be clear.
Dude, that's 20 getting sex on a regular. You overlook a lot.
I just got a question. My only question to you would be, if the dude was hitting you, why did you hit her?
The fight hadn't started. I threw the first punch on her.
Why?
because I was going to be able to get away from not fighting this dude. So I figured if I'm going to take an ass whipping, she should take at least one lump.
Ouch. Wow. Okay. All right.
Let's be clear. That's not domestic violence. That's gangster shit. that you got into right there. That's two totally different ends of the spectrum. It's
ratchet shit.
Yeah.
And to be fair, he did whip my ass bad. But that was all right. I still walked away smiling. Like, remember Big Sexy, remember WrestleMania 14 where Rock took that ass from Ken Shamrock, but he was smiling with the belt up in the air?
Oh, that was me. Dude.
Hey, the things you do when you're young.
All right, let's get off of the incriminating stories and credibility problems.
Can I talk about how I beat my kids now?
We're going to get into that, actually. So speaking of beating the kids, Mr. Adrian Peterson. Now, I don't know what team he plays for. I'm
Minnesota
not a,
Vikings.
Okay, Minnesota Vikings. Shout out to Purple Rain Prince. Now he is in the news.
Prince don't want to name up in that stuff.
Adrian Peterson has been indicted for allegedly beating his young son with a switch. I'm going to read a little bit here. This is from the CBS Minnesota News. It says police report said the boy told the doctor Peterson had hit him with a branch from a tree. The doctor told investigators that the boy had a number of lacerations on his thighs, along with bruise-like marks on his lower back and buttocks, and cuts on his hand. The police report said the doctor described some of the marks as open wounds and termed it, quote, child abuse. Another examiner agreed, calling the cuts extensive. Also, I want to add in here, it's a CBS Houston. They are reporting on some alleged text messages that Peterson had sent to the boy's mother. Peterson then texts the boy's mother saying that one wound in particular would make her, quote, mad at me about his leg. I got kind of good with the tail end of the switch, end of quote. Peterson also allegedly said via text message to the child's mother that he felt bad after the fact when I noticed the switch was wrapping around, hitting something thigh. And also acknowledged the injury to the child's scrotum in a text message saying, quote, got him in the nuts once I noticed, but I felt so bad and I'm all tearing that butt up when I need it. I start putting them in timeout and save the whooping for needed memories. In further text messages, Peterson allegedly said, never do I go overboard, but all my kids will know, hey, daddy has the biggie heart. But don't play no games when it comes to acting right. whoa.
Okay.
Go ahead, Q.
I will say once again, I am all for corporal punishment. I think our kids are running wild today because parents have been neutered in being able to discipline their kids. And some parents just don't really even care about discipline. I've heard a few mothers, single moms, I'll say it, that have said, I just don't have the time. I'm not trying to get locked up, this and that. Having said that, I mean, to a crass degree, I'm aware of the philosophy, never leave a mark, okay? But I think this brother took it way too far. If he's leaving open wounds on a child, that would indicate to me that the child was beaten without his pants on or just on the bare skin, which I would never do. I would never hit my child with what we in the black community call a switch. I would use a belt, I'm not going to lie, or my open hand. But I'm never doing it on exposed flesh. I just think that's beyond the mark. So I believe in disciplining kids with corporal punishment, but not to that degree. That's you don't draw blood. That's, and then to talk about it like that, this is your own progeny. You don't talk about it in that manner. I was good with a switch and I hit him on the nuts. That could be doing some damage that you don't know what the long-term effects are. So I just think you took it too far.
A Big Sexy, you going to say something?
I think, again, you know, we are all of us are generally from the same generation, and none of us, with the exception, I believe, of Sean, were raised in the southern regions. And so a switch in a lot of the rural territories coming up for adults now was normal. And a switch, just by its design, is going to leave some welts and of a type. Also, the text messages were not for public consumption. They were between him and the mother. And the mother has had beef with him before. So I think there's more to it than Adrian Peterson just going ham on his kid. I think the mother was trying to shake him down, you know, as a type of, if you don't do this or give me that, this is going to come out. And the one thing that really bugged me about this, and I don't know if you guys have seen it, but the sports reporter who broke this story, you know, went on TV on an interview. I want to punch him in his fucking face. This little twerpy guy. Well, Adrian Peterson has some disconnect because he doesn't know what kind of damage he could do long term and blah, blah, blah. One, you're not a shrink. You're a sports reporter. Two, this isn't sports. Shut the fuck up. Three, no one gives a damn about you. You're not a star. Don't make yourself the star at someone else's expense. I think this thing is blown up well past anything that needs to be blown up. Did he go too far? Probably. But was it malicious, or is he a child abuser? No. No. He did what he learned, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but he just did learn behavior. And now he knows, obviously, and someone should have told him beforehand, dude, you can't be using a switch. A switch is not good. You know, old school, get the belt, handle business. But all this should have remained private. It really should have.
I want to counter you just a little bit. I know I'm going up against, you know, the man here. But the only thing I would say is, you know, the learned behavior could have been a different type of abuse, and we wouldn't excuse that. Like if it was sexual or something. So yeah, I'd kind of say, you know. But Sean Hill, you have children.
Yes.
What's your opinion on this situation as a father?
Beat they ass if they deserve it. Wow. That's my take. It's amazing how in a
police
generation,
are on their way.
Hey, Sean, you better be careful. You know your daughter got a lack of melanin. You know you don't want to have some issues.
Man,
well, see, well,
I'm just saying. You know there are different rules. See, you can be a black baby.
Where's my popcorn at?
So you got your daughter's little likes, a lot of fair skin. They'd probably be like, okay, we knew that Sean here was no good.
Well, let me just say this. She knows that I don't
speaking
play.
To the
she
mic did, a little bit different.
Oh, sorry. She knows I love her to death. I'd do anything for her. And she also knows that I don't play. So she has not received corporal punishment. I'll use that phrase. In quite some time, she knows there's consequences to her actions, and that daddy's gonna come down hard if it's something just totally out of line. So she knows better, and that's kind of my point. I mean, I when I was growing up, I received many an ass whooping, but then it got to that point where I knew not to act up because I knew that not only would my mom and dad whoop my ass, but if I'm in church and I'm doing something bad in church, Deacon so-and-so is going to whoop my ass also. And then tell mom and dad, and then they whoop my ass. As you said, we've gotten to the point where – and they teach this in school now. They teach kids to, you know, if anyone, even your parents, they put your hands on you, you dial 911. I know my stepkids had come home saying that one time. I mean, they're literally teaching the kids that in school. So I know I was afraid to discipline the older two because I'm like, shoot, I pop belt. The next thing I know, 5-0's knocking at my door. So, we need to get back to that though. Not leaving marks and stuff like that. But our kids need to know that there are consequences to their actions and that, you know, they can't do anything they want and then come home and you know, plug up the Xbox or the, you know, or the tablet and laptop and all that, you know, they just got, we've got to get back to disciplining our kids. I think that's some things that are going wrong in society.
Yeah, I agree. We have to discipline our kids, but I don't, you know, I'm looking at the pictures and I understand what he's doing, but I think one, he hasn't been taught that this is the way you go about it. You know, you get the Switch and, you know, you tear that ass up and, you know, he's talking about that. But I just think there's a fine line as we all sort of have to wrestle with as parents that if you are going to do this, you can't go ham. Like, you can't, like, right. Black out and start, you know, because you're mad and I want to beat the shit out of him. And I don't know if that's what he was, but, you know, it's tough, man, because, again, we're talking about football players. We're talking about these guys are huge, right? So I can imagine right. I would be scared to get a whooping from him, let alone being 4 years old. And that's my dad. You know, go ahead.
I was going to say, my dad was a football coach. So
okay.
But wasn't the child was just for clarity, I thought the child was 10 years old.
No. Oh. I thought it was 4.
No, he was 4. At least
yeah, there was conflicting reports. Somebody said it was an 11-year-old. It did, but the one that they got is 4. He got a couple six kids. Or seven kids by 5 different women. So
yeah, it's easy to get mixed up.
That's where some of the issue is too, because like I think it was Big Sexy kind of mentioned, there was some stuff going on with the mom. They're not together, and this could be an opportunity for her. I got his ass. You know, now if you don't give me some money, I'm gonna put this shit on TV. You know, I'm gonna because I don't know who went to the police. That's what I was kind of wondering. How did they know about this? Did she say, "Oh, I got you"? And who gave up the text messages? Right? She must have been like, "Ah, yeah, see, you fucked. You not fucked up, nigga. You know, like, I got you."
You know, she was slick with it too, because apparently they had a doctor's appointment, which to me is like, Adrian, dude, if you know that there's a doctor's appointment, why the hell are you beating this kid? But even still, and I'm not excusing his actions. He probably should have used a different form of physical punishment, or use a different tool. But the mother, I just don't understand. If you see this, clearly, either you take it straight to the police, but why are you going to the doctors and letting the doctor do the dirty work? And I have to report it. She ain't slick. She knew good and well what she was doing.
Well, that, yeah, she did know what she was doing. I think that's why she went to the doctor, so because they let it come from that angle, so that I can really play this thing properly. And again, I have to always go back to the man. I just feel like we as men, we have to think and be responsible. And my only thing I can say is, as a father, I would never whip my child that they would have lacerations on them. Whether it's little, I just couldn't do it. Like Q-Storm said, I'm not going to strip them naked and start whipping them. That's, for me, that's too much. And especially if I was going to leave marks on them, that ain't cool. So I just feel like he messed up at that point. But now, you know, he's going to have to own up and pay it up, do whatever. You know, they're going to use him as a scapegoat for a lot of things.
Yep.
You know, and that's unfortunate. But like I've always said on this show, I don't understand why these brothers they're not getting some sort of training. Do we need to have the drop squad come out and all African-American entertainers and athletes? Here's the code of conduct, man. You're going to mess up your legacy. Slow down. You know, whether it's baby mamas trying to catch you, or media groups, whatever, this is how you're supposed to operate so you can continue to keep this wealth and get some power. But cats is just like, they don't have that training, or the common sense is out the window. I'm not really understanding what's going on.
I can tell you what's going on, man. It's the same typical thing. And again, this crosses racial lines generally. When you're a young man and you're being paid hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars at age 20, 21, you ain't trying to hear shit.
Yeah.
And then you got your boys in your ear, you know, who you grew up with, who are nothing but Klingons, you know, hanging on for a paycheck. Oh, yeah, man, fuck that bitch, you know? So you're not going to try to hear, you know, some knowledge unless you're a special person of character beforehand. That's just how it is. Yeah, what was my man's name a couple years ago? Pac-Man Jones. There you go. You know, guy made millions. Let me make it rain. That's what he's known for, making it rain. He's not known for playing football. He's known for being that guy.
Wow. And where is he at now?
Skid Row.
Wow.
He's rained out.
What did you say?
I thought he was at Cincinnati. But
same thing, isn't it? You know,
shout out to Cincinnati. Russell.
You know, Jamarcus Russell, same thing. You know, guy gets over, number one overall pick, gets 40-something million guaranteed. He goes on TV and utters the phrase, purple drank. Lord.
One more sport. There's a lot of, this is a sports show today. One more sports thing we got to talk about. Everybody wants to be Donald Sterling. Now we've got this guy. He's from what, the Atlanta Hawks? Or wait, I'm sorry.
You mean Indiana Pacers?
Talking about Atlanta Hawks owner Bruce Levinson.
Danny Ferry, that's the Hawks.
So there has now been this, since there was an investigation that was going on about, you know, sort of racial things that happened with, I believe it was a team scout who had, you know, talked about how one of the players was an African, and we will probably get into that. But that sort of started this investigation within the league or whatever. And one of the owners basically came forward and said, hey, you know what? I had an email that went out that, you know, was probably some racial shit in there. You know, here's the assumption. Let me try and get in front of this, and I'm going to offer this up. Now, this is an owner of a team, the Hawks. And he's one of the guys, too, that was like, yeah, if Donald Sterling is, you know, if something happened, then we got to get rid of him, da 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 da. So I want to read some of this email here, and we want to talk about this. And this email is addressing what he feels is the in-game experience at the Phillips Arena in Atlanta, among other things. And this was sort of his investigation into, you know, what they can do as a team to bring in more people. So he says, number four, says, regarding game ops, I need to start with some background. For the first couple of years we owned the team, I didn't much focus on game ops operations, right? Then one day a light bulb went off when digging into why our season ticket base is so small. I was told it was because we can't get 35 to 55-year-old white males and corporations to buy season tickets, and they are the primary demo for season tickets around the league. When I pushed further, folks generally shrugged their shoulders. Then I started looking into our arena during games and noticed the following. It's 70% black. Talk about the attendance, right? The cheerleaders are black. The music is hip-hop. And at the bars, it's 90% black. There are few fathers and sons at the game. We are doing after game concerts to attract more fans, and the concerts are either hip hop or gospel. Then I start looking around at other arenas. It is completely different. Even DC, with this affluent black community, never has more than 50% black audience. Before we bought the Hawks, and for those couple of years immediately after, in an effort to make the arena look full at the NBA's urging, thousands and thousands of tickets were being given away predominantly in the black community, adding to the overall black attendance or audience. Excuse me. My theory is that the black crowd scared away the whites, and there are simply not enough affluent black fans to build a significant season ticket base. Please don't get me wrong. There was nothing threatening going on in the arena back then. I never felt uncomfortable, but I think Southern whites simply were not comfortable being in an arena or at a bar where they were in the minority. On fan sites, I would read comments about how dangerous it is around Phillips. Yet, in our 9 years, I don't know of any mugging or even a pickpocket incident. This was just racist garbage. When I hear some people saying the arena is in the wrong place, I think it is code for there are too many blacks in the game at the games. I have been open with our executive team about these concerns. I have told them I want some white cheerleaders. And while I don't care what the color of the artist is, I want the music to be more familiar to a 40-year-old white guy, if that's our season ticket demo. I have also balked when every fan picked out of the game to shoot shots is it in some time.
All right, Floyd.
I know, right? Hilarious.
I didn't want to say anything.
In some timeout contest is black. I have even.
Repeat that. Say that again.
I said I have also balked. I might say that word wrong. When every fan picked out of a crowd to shoot games in some timeout contest is black. I have been bitched. I have even bitched that the kiss cam is too black. Gradually, things have changed. My unscientific guess is that our crowd is 40% black now, still 4 to 5 times all other teams. And my further guess is that 40% still feels like 70% to some whites at our games. Our bars are still overwhelmingly black. In closing, I'll say this is obviously a sensitive topic, but sadly, I think it is far and away the number one reason our season ticket base is low. And many of our black fans don't have the spendable income, which explains why our F&B and merchandise sales are so low. At all white trasher games, sales are nearly triple what they are at Hawks games. The extra intermission explains some of that, but not all. Regardless of what time a game starts, we have a late arriving crowd in the league. It often looks and sounds empty when the team takes the floor. Last part quickly. Our player intro was flat. We manufacture a lot of noise, but because of the late arriving crowd and the fact that a lot of blacks don't seem to go crazy cheering, another one of my theories, he adds, as whites, it is not great. Even when we have just returned from winning 4 straight on the road, I am one of the few people in the arena standing and cheering when our team takes the floor. It says Bob has kicked around ideas like having the starters coming down the aisles rather than off the bench during intros. Sounds cool, but it may highlight all the empty seats at the start of games. Okay, I was long, but I wanted to read most of it because in the media, they'll just only read certain parts.
Can I say something real
quick? Go right ahead.
I believe I caught everything that was in that statement, and the first 2/3 of it, he had me. Then he kind of lost me as he kept going, because it sounded like he was acknowledging that it was racist bullshit that, you know, white people are saying it's in a bad area or there's too many black people or whatever. But then he goes on to say, and he says it's racist bullshit, but then he goes on to say, well, it is too many black people. I'm going to change the music. I'm going to change the number of black people that go down to for the halftime activities. So he kind of flip-flopped on me a little bit.
He lost me with that portion. And when he said, I want white cheerleaders, I'm immediately thinking of Blazing Saddles.
Where the white women at?
Okay, fine. I missed. So what? Leave me alone. But the thing is, though, if that is his target season ticket demographic, you got to play him some rhythm. You have to, because that's where your money is. That's where your luxury box sales come in, and that's where the big dollars are. And if you're not getting those monies, you got to get them.
Aww.
Oh, it's like that? It's like that?
No, you know what? I'm so I had the volume turned down, but I forgot you guys hear it. The audience does not hear that. Sorry. It wasn't for you.
Go ahead.
Oh, Mike, get ready to throw me on the coon train, too.
Well, I wasn't putting you on the coon train, be clear. That's why the audience doesn't know what the hell we're talking about.
Well, how come, wait a minute, how come they always hear it when I'm put on the train?
Well, that was intentional.
Well?
Okay.
Go ahead. Well, here's what I was going to say.
It's Big Sexy's floor, isn't it?
Well, I will say this. Hearing what, and I'm playing this for myself. Okay. Listen, I personally, for the most part, I don't have a problem with what he wrote, because I understand what he was doing when he wrote this. To me, this is no different than when, say, black people are talking about Well, we want to be included in something, and we want to see some changes happen. Can we have some things that may appeal to us? And as much as we don't like to hear white person particularly or somebody else outside of our race say something about us, I don't feel like he was coming at it in a white supremacist, and that's why I'm shout out to Tyreek, frame of mind when he was doing this. He was coming to this as, this is our business, our demographic is this, and we're trying to make a certain amount of money, and if this group ain't got that money, we need to attract the ones who do. That's business. And all the stuff that he said, as a black person, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. A lot of, we might be coming in late, a.k.a. Ampu. We might come in late to something. We might not all be trying to, hey, go ahead, dude. Yeah. We might not be doing all that. Coach, yeah, right, dude. Might not be the most vocal sometimes. You're chilling. And, hey, he said something that was, the truth hurts. He said, we don't see a lot of fathers and sons in the game.
Okay, I think he was out of line for that.
But it's real.
But it's true.
It's true. Because we know that a lot of us is parents is separated, baby mama, a baby daddy.
What's
over here.
What's it got to do with his money, though?
I'm speculating. Probably, I would imagine, I'm assuming traditionally sports games would be part of the experience is, you know, fathers bringing their sons. You know, my dad didn't bring me, but my uncle.
What does he care? As long as people are there spending money, what does it matter?
He's just going over the data. I'm not putting it personal in
that,
it. But this
that was out of line because it doesn't matter. As long, he just wants people in the seats. If it's all women filling the seats, what the fuck does he care?
But traditionally, all women don't go to the game. I think that's what he was alluding to.
But, he doesn't need to speak on that. I mean, it may be true. It's something that needs to be addressed. But he doesn't need to speak on
that. This is an email that is to other business leaders in his profession. So they can speak on whatever they want.
They can. He could say, yeah, he could.
That's all I'm saying. Like, that's what we have to remember the context of where this is from. Let me finish my point, Jim. Context of what this email was for and what the intent was. Again, a lot of it may not, but I say that is a truth in our community that our families are broken. And so we're probably not, that demographic is not at his games where he probably traditionally, when a white family, that's what you saw. Right or wrong, that's reality. I just feel a lot of the things that you have the overall gospel is usually not something that's, you know, I assume he meant sort of black gospel type groups. It's very popular in sort of black community. I would imagine in Atlanta, right? There's not a lot of white people going to the gospel, not going to Mary Mary like that. Start it up. So I don't necessarily have a problem with this. I can understand how some people are going to catch feelings, but again, they're probably not in business. And that's what this was for. Lastly, I was saying, I'll go to Q-Storm. I kind of feel like he's self-putting this out there possibly so he can get that Sterling check. That's my opinion. Go ahead, Q-Storm.
What's that now?
Go ahead. You can say.
My only thing is, well, I know this is going to be a naive. I'm going to say two things.
I'm just playing with you.
Are we done? We done? Yes. Was that a happy time?
I was just playing, man.
All right, two things. I don't know. It seems to me he can, like you said, he can speak on whatever he wants to. But we can be honest and say, okay, we should be honest and say, okay, he had a point there, he had a point there, he had a point there. But when he talks about there's not a lot of dads and sons in the crowd, okay, that may be true, but what does that have to do with how that impacts your sales? You shouldn't care if it's all women coming to the stands and filling them up. What does it matter that if it's not fathers? What if it's all mothers and sons? So it shouldn't matter to you. That's something you spoke on that is irrelevant to how much money you're making. That's the point I'm making there. And I forget my second point. So there you go.
Big Sexy.
Yo. I disagree with that, Q, simply based on the rates of consumption. He said food and beverage was down. And if it's, and again, he's obviously generalizing. And based on the generalization principle, if it's fathers and sons, you know, dad's having a couple of beers, let's get some hot dogs and get the foam fingers and the bullshit and all that stuff. A lot of times, if it's mothers and sons, one hot dog is enough.
No, okay.
I don't drink a lot of beer. You don't need no foam finger. You know, okay. And things of that nature.
I accept that's I accept that. You explained it to me. Cool. I got you now. All right. So I take back what I said. That's you're right. But can I just remembered my second point. May I elucidate on that?
Oh, well, please retort.
this will be naive. You'll be able to debunk this, but I guess as a black person, I understand, you know, I would say yes. A lot of the things he said were painful to hear, but they may be true. But I guess my thing is, rather than, now you're in Atlanta. Atlanta, as far as I know, is one of the number one spots for black affluence. That's my understanding. I could be wrong. So rather than trying to get more white people to come back in, why not do more to get more black people to come in? I guess as a black person, I'm thinking, well, you only have a black crowd come. You have a 70% black crowd come in. Do whatever you have to do to get 100% black people come in. Attract more black people instead of feeling like you have to attract white people to make them feel less scared to spend money.
I think.
Let me throw in real quick what he said in the email. He said, and many of our black fans, in his opinion, don't have the spendable income.
Bingo.
How does he know that?
They're not there spending the money.
Yeah.
He's trying to sell luxury suites. He's saying that we have a predominantly black fan base, but that predominantly black fan base, even in a more affluent black city like Atlanta, they're not spending
money
on the luxury suites. That's what he's trying to get.
Why are they not coming? Are you marketing to them? Make them your target. Make them a drummer.
Well, I think they are the target, right? You said everything is black. The cheerleaders are black. The music is black. Players are black. But they're here. But they ain't spending the money.
Then that target is probably not listening to hip hop. Rich black folks are probably not listening to hip hop. Well,
I think rich black folks.
I don't.
Go ahead. I think just to be clear, black people are coming there. They are there, and here, as you said, they're in the most probably affluent sort of black city in America. But even with that, they don't have the money or they're not spending the money. I think it's his point to say, like, yeah, they're here, but unfortunately they don't have the money, in his opinion, that the white, you know, people do. So even if they're all here, they don't have that kind of money. So it ain't about the numbers of those people. We want the white people who got paper to come in here. I think that's what he's saying. Go ahead.
I'm saying I didn't hear anything in that statement which indicates, like, Big Sexy just broke it down for me and I'm like, okay, he convinced me. I didn't hear anything in that statement that says you are marketing to get those black affluent people in there. So do the focus groups or do the poll testing on that. How do I know he hasn't done an adequate job of marketing to those black families or black class that has disposable income?
I think in his statement where you're saying, you know, black this, black that, I don't think he was including affluent blacks. I think the people he's talking about, and again, that's a question that permeates the society, because there are a lot of black Republicans or a lot of black people who are more conservative slant. They're invisible, because if they come out and become visible, they are immediately ganged up on by the Al Sharptons and the liberal media or the liberal people. Hear me out. And a lot of them won't take stands on things that are, like Ferguson. A lot of people are like, you know what? It was fucked up, and I ain't got time to be out there protesting and throwing rocks and shit. I got to keep this paper coming in. So when you're trying to reach what is admittedly not a large market demographic, how do you go about doing that?
Well, the thing is, you can ask, how do you go about doing that? And I'm telling you, there are firms and consulting houses that would give you a total rundown on how to go about doing that.
Well, then I agree with you on that point, because, again, that goes back to the Hawks' bottom line. These luxury boxes are empty. You know, our season ticket base is down. We're not selling food and beverages. We're not selling goodies. The people who are coming now ain't spending no money. They got to go. We got to get to the people who have the money and who have shown the penchant to spend the money. And that's their problem. Now, all the hip-hop and the merry-merry, that ain't going to work. They need to change up a little bit.
Well, I guess the problem I have is him saying we need white people. No, you need people. So maybe you...
No, you need rich people.
Right, okay. And I'm saying he's assuming, from what I heard in that statement, that most of the wealth, that only wealth he can accept or that he can reach out to is white wealth. I'm saying, okay, there's black wealth there. Maybe those people don't listen to hip hop either.
Well, play
jazz, play R&B every now and then. Play OJs, play spinners, play,
Mighty Love.
There you go. I was just listening to that the other day.
Q, come on.
What?
OJs and the spinners and jazz at a basketball game?
I was joking. You know what I'm trying to say.
Okay. I'm like, what?
Well, I think a big part of what he spoke to, though, is also he feels like possibly that white people are afraid to come because it is predominantly black, so they're not showing up.
Well, that's the problem. As a black person,
I'm not saying it's not a problem.
I have a problem with that.
Well, again, that's white flight. You see that in a lot of neighborhoods. You know, we've seen that historically in different things. I think there is some part of that in this. You know, he talks about the other games where even he says at the end the percentage goes down a little bit. But to him, he says to Southern whites, he spoke specifically. I think he's being very clear what he's trying to say. He's the Southern whites. It still ain't, that's too much. They feel like it's still 70%. That's a other problem. But I think that's a real thing to be concerned about if you're really looking at trying to make some money. And let's be clear, there is income disparity in between different races.
Yeah. You know what you do? You break off maybe $5 million, right? And you hire the top advertising firm publicity firm in Atlanta or in New York. They don't have to be in Atlanta. And you put together a campaign to bring about, now y'all gonna clown me, I don't care. You put together a campaign that shows how people can live and work together and without any problems, NBC, the more you know type of, do a PSA, break out $5 million, do a series, a campaign, billboards, radio, TV, you do spots, you do radio drops, you do billboard one shots. And I'm not saying that solves it, but that shows you're making an effort to not alienate one part of society so that you can draw another part of society.
What about black companies? What about people coming? What about the people that's coming in late?
Well, that's bullshit. Everybody comes in late. That's you're joking.
Yeah, that's crap right there. Because LA,
do we
black,
even
white, Asian, Hispanic, we all show up late to Laker and Dodger games.
Is
and
it those predominantly
are the Lakers and Dodgers?
What's the audience predominantly at Laker games?
It's mixed, whites and blacks, and Hispanics. Okay. I would say 40% white, 30% black, and 20% Hispanic, and 10% other.
Well, I can speak to the attendance because I've been to that arena. Oh, well, let me rephrase it. I haven't been to Phillips, but I've been to the Omni many, many times, and I know exactly where it is. It's basically the Omni. They knocked down the Omni, built the Phillips Arena. It's basically downtown Atlanta, and getting anywhere in downtown during the time that they start the games, which are typically 4 or 5 o'clock, it's typically just not doable. I mean, it's the same thing with the Heat games. If you ever watch the Heat games when they're on TV, I mean, well, you had LeBron, you had, you know, the big three there. And the start of the games, the place is empty. because people are still at work. People, you know, the people that are working to be able to afford to actually come to the games. But usually by the, you know, second quarter, place is packed. So them getting – people getting to the stadium isn't indicative of, quote-unquote, black people. It's just people are working, you know, and people are trying to get there, people are trying to park. Again, it's that location is a bad location as far as where it is. It's not a bad location as far as demographics. Again, it's downtown, so it's going to be, you know, predominantly black, but there's also a lot of businesses and whatnot in that area. It's adjacent to the CNN Center, so you got a lot of traffic going in and out of there. So that's part of, you know, the reason. Now, I have a lot of friends that live about an hour south that have season tickets, and they go to every game. I'll have to pick their brain and ask them about all of this other stuff to see what they feel, what they think, and I'll report back.
I can tell you this. I had to go offline, so I just came in. It sounded like you were describing downtown Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to that stadium when it was the Omni. Actually, saw the Love Sex around there. Omni, that's Phillips now.
I've lived in Atlanta. I used to work at CNN downtown.
Okay, well then you know.
I'm not saying I know, because I was there for about a year. I was back there a couple years ago, and we did a shoot at the Bronner Brothers Hair Show, which is a big hair show, a black hair show every year. At the new, they built the new. It is a black. But you know what's funny?
Lord, that show, seriously, Q.
It is a black, the black hair show, but it's mostly Koreans there. Explain that.
It's selling their product.
But anyway, my point is that is not a bad area anymore. From what I said, they put millions of dollars into that area. So for someone to say that's a bad area, they're full of crap.
I agree.
Well, yeah, I think anybody says bad area, is it the black area? Possibly.
It's not even that.
Okay. But Atlanta itself is the black area, is what I'm trying to say.
All right, let me just go real quick because we're going to wrap this up. I want to get just you guys' opinion, though. So, you know, this is also, let me say, Levingston, he also was the guy, and says he publicly stated that he would support an attempt by Silver and the NBA to oust Sterling. This was back during when his stuff was. And he even said, quote, you know, league has zero tolerance policy against racism and discrimination in any form. Let me also say, in 2011, he also attempted to sell the Hawks to California businessman Alex Marullio, but the deal ultimately fell through. Now, again, being that he is the guy who brought forth this on his own admission, you know, there obviously is reasons by why, especially big money dudes, do stuff. They don't just randomly be doing shit. So taking that into mind, and also I want to know, is this racist to you? Does this warrant him getting the Donald Sterling treatment? Or is this just sort of misunderstood and there were some things said that, you know, you may have an issue with, but doesn't necessarily mean they're racist? So I'm going to start with, go ahead, Big Sexy, go ahead.
I don't think they're racist. I think it's going to, you know, bottom line here. You know, it's about money. You know, and money, the only color he sounds like he's concerned with is green. And a lot of the green is not coming in. You know, that's how I read it. Now, I don't think it was a racist intention. It could have been phrased in a more easily digestible manner, but at the end of the day, it's about money, and they're not making any. So I see where he's coming from.
Sean Hill.
I don't think it's racist either. The money's there. They just got to go get it. And they got to put a better product on the floor also. I mean, folks ain't going to shell out money to watch a losing team.
All right, Sean Hill. I mean, I'm sorry, Aunt Pooh.
I don't think it's racist either. I think that he's trying to figure out how to get those luxury suites. So you don't force the city to build you this new stadium filled with these luxury seats and then trying to explain why you ain't got any of them filled. I mean, could he have used some better language? Possibly, but is his intent that we need to get all these niggas out of here and get good Christian Southern white folk up in here? No.
All right.
Okay. Oh, and
you know, brothers on the wall.
One thing. What was the team name that you mentioned in the article? They said the other game had more attendance. What was that team?
Thrasher.
Isn't that a hockey team?
Yeah, that's hockey. Say no more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, then that's admitting there is some sort of difference between black and white consumers.
Well, here, not necessarily.
I want to get my chance.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Keith.
Was it racist? I'm not going to say it was racist. I think that's a term we throw around too much. I will say it. Now, given what I heard the man say as you read it, I would say it's ignorant because unless he it sounds like to me he's just assuming that all of the wealth is concentrated in white society, which I'm sure a lot of it is. But in the city of Atlanta, I got to think, if you could at least make an effort to attract those black families with disposable income, the families that where you probably will see mother, father, and child going to the games. You got to make an effort as opposed to just come out and say, well, we need more white people. Well, just say we need more people.
Well, hey, and if he wants some affluent black people, all you got to do is hook up with Tyler Perry. Bam, there you go.
Exactly. Just do a campaign. You hire
Tyler Perry night at.
No.
You're laughing. That would be a good move.
Wear your Madea costume.
Get the luxury suites, though. That's the question. That's where the real money is at. Those luxury suites.
Now, if Tyler Perry wants to buy suites, yeah.
But you know what I'm saying. I mean, that the money is there. It's not like it's not there. Atlanta is a hub for entertainment, for sports, you name it, music. The money's there. They just got to go get it, period.
Atlanta, what is it? I forget the name of the airport. I don't think it's Atlanta.
Hartsfield.
Hartsfield Jackson. It's the busiest airport in the country.
It is?
People come there every day in and day. Yes. Wow. Wait a minute. It's either Atlanta's the busiest, or O'Hare is the busiest. I know Atlanta has – maybe it's the largest. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I know a lot of people go through there. It's so large, they have terminals all spread out all over the place. Yep. And there's no – I'm just saying, like Sean just said, the money's there. You don't have to say we need more white people. Just – get more people in there, and if it's more white, then we can't complain. Then we can't say anything.
Here's a little some of those stats. You know, as of 2012, the unemployment rate in Atlanta was over 9%, higher than the national average of 8.2.
It was what?
9%.
90%.
Nine.
Okay.
Nine. It says these, and I'm reading Wikipedia, so you take it for what you want. These dismal statistics have garnered Atlanta recognition as one of the world's worst economic performers, with the city's economic earning in ranking of 189 among 200 global cities, down from a ranking of 89 during the 90s, when the city realized 1.6 income growth and 2.6 unemployment growth. It says the Atlanta home values range $85,000 as of January 2012, second worst among major metropolitan areas, coming in just behind Detroit. So I don't know if, as much as we think Atlanta may be an economic hub, it was maybe in the 90s when it was really popping, I think, and the music industry was really big there, as opposed to maybe where it may be now. Again, to be clear, predominantly it is a black town, right? 54% population, this is 2010, of a black African-American. White was 36 or 38.4%. But, you know, in terms of economic base, you know, the numbers, you may be dominant, but it doesn't necessarily mean you may have the economic power that other races
do.
One thing, though, Mike, that may be a little bit misleading, because if you're just specifically speaking of Atlanta, that's probably true. But Atlanta, people say they live in Atlanta and don't live in Atlanta. You know what I mean? There's, you know, there's Smyrna, there's Alpharetta, there's many different. Yeah, Alpharetta.
That's a name?
Yeah. That's where Bobby Brown, that's where rich white or black people live. I mean, really rich.
I used to live directly south of Alpharetta in Smyrna.
Yep. Smyrna,
you're on the the ghetto TV show, but I digress.
So Atlanta itself may have those numbers, but those, again, the crowd that they're trying to attract don't live in Atlanta. They live, you know, they live way out, as Ice Cube used to say. So, you know, just.
Which may be keeping them from coming to the games too, right? Maybe the people in Atlanta don't have that income that they want, but people outside of it may, right? As you just stated.
The last few times I've been to Atlanta in the last 3 years, I've probably been there twice. Every time I've gone there, there's nothing but construction going on. Nothing but construction. So I'm surprised to hear those. What year was that that you read from Wikipedia?
2012.
Man, I've been there a couple times since 2010, and it was hard to get around, at least downtown, because they were redoing the roads and new buildings, shopping malls are going up. So I don't know what.
Hence the arrival time at the games.
All right. So there we go. We'll see what happens with that guy. Now there's talk of them, you know, give up the team or sell the team. I'm sure
he
can get a fat payday. So we'll see. All right, man. There are other topics where we're going to have to cut this. This has actually been a very long show. Definitely been impactful. We'll continue some of these on the next one, possibly. Before we do, get out of here. Where can they find you, Mr. Q-Storm?
You can find me at qstorm.com/lightningstrikes. You can find me on Facebook under Michael Jones. And you can find me at Twitter at QStorm3476.
All right. Big Sexy and Sack.
I can be found, excuse me, on Facebook under my civilian name, Mark Wiggins, and under my secret identity on Twitter, Big Sexy and Sack. Hello, ladies. How you doing?
All right. No creepy name. Nah, just joke.
Don't hate.
Sean Hill.
All right, you can find me on Twitter at Hill Street Views, Facebook Sean Hill, also Real Movie Talk, and of course the blog hillstreetviews.blogspot.com. No new reviews this week, but we're still running down the 30 days, 30 great scenes, best scenes in movie history in my opinion. Post one every day this month, so check them out.
All right, last but certainly not least, Mr. Aunt Pooh.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @Pooh. I'll have a new article up tomorrow at 401 Mania for the best alternative takes in comic books. And you'll see a new column up of Breaking Kayfabe on Knockout Nation and allhiphop.com on Wednesday. And before I leave, let me reiterate, fuck Deadspin.
The views. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, you know what to do. Find us on Facebook, podcastjuice.net. You can also find me directly on Twitter. It's M. Dean. And with that, we are out of here. We will see you probably tomorrow. Peace.
World star.
Let me ask you this before we start the next. Are we doing another show?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, before we get into the next show, I want to share with you guys, I have my first.